Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
We're in our series on the greatest commandment. This is the session is entitled The Trap of Offense. And if I love you, I got to not only tell you what to do, but I got to tell you what not to do. And this is the biggest worst not to do. This one will kill you. This one will take you out of the greatest commandment. And it'll ruin what you're building in your heart. And so we're going to take a session on it and talk about it a little bit. First, we're going to start off with pressing on to know him, because that's really our objective. That's the purpose of the series. It's the purpose of your life, is to press on to know him. And I say press on, that's terminology Paul used. But that term press on, it's like, I don't know, I always imagine like trying to push a very large block, a very heavy cube up an incline. And I just imagine my shoulder up against that thing and just barely like 1 inch at a time, kind of nudging it up. I press on. And if you stop pressing, that thing's going to run you over and kill you. And if you don't press, there's no way that thing's moving up the mountain. But if you just keep pressing, you've got enough angle and leverage, you can get it. But it's not going to necessarily be easy. Press on. We press on to know him. We press on to know him. This is the purpose of life. This is eternal life. John 17:3. This is eternal life. I love it that that's what Jesus said. He said, now this is eternal life. What? What's eternal life? To know the one true God. That's eternal life. So we can have that now. We can have that in the next age. I want eternal life. And that's what true life is. So honestly, no matter what else you've got going on in your life, if you've got 1,000 blessings, 1,000 cool things, if everything's always gone your way, you've had every dream met that you ever wanted, if you don't know him, you don't have eternal life. You don't have the real life. You're like living some fake life. And maybe you're living your best fake life now, but it's still a fake life. Because eternal life is knowing him. And that's what we want our lives to be about. That's what the series is. That's what we're trying to do. We want more and more and more of him. We want to press on. Look at this verse in Philippians 3. It's a passage 8 through 14, little excerpt here. We want to press on. We want to have the prize. We want to get the goal. Everything else, Paul says. He says, everything else. It's loss. It doesn't compare. You line up every other blessing, every other thing. It doesn't even compare to this idea of knowing Jesus. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ. It's like knowing Christ makes everything else so pale in comparison, you call it a loss. Like what? My best, coolest stuff, brag moments, loss in comparison to just knowing Jesus, knowing him. Your biggest bragging point in life is you know Jesus. It's the best thing you've got going, knowing Jesus. Said, is knowing Christ that I may gain Christ and be found in him. This is Paul writing. Paul's already got Christ. But he's like, I want to gain, I want more. And I want to be found in him. It's like Paul's just looking for language to try to excite his own heart to just run after Jesus more. He's like, I want to be in him. I want to be all up in his space. I want to be found in him, like tuck me up in his armpit. I want to be in Christ. I want to gain Christ. I want more of Christ. Everything else is lost. I just want Christ. He says, I want to know Christ. There it is again. I'm like, man, Paul, you are growing really hard after this. I want to know Christ. I want to know him. I press on to take hold of that, or which Christ took hold of me. To know Christ. That's what he's talking about. Christ took hold of me, and He said, the purpose for which he took hold of me was that I might take hold of him. He said, and I want him. I want to know Christ. So I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Yeah, I press on. Man, you just look at all the language in that passage. It's very life-directing. Man, when you read these verses, how Paul's talking about knowing God and the sacrifice that he's willing to make and the perspective that he has on all the temporal things. I like me some temporal stuff. Chocolate cake is the bomb, but it's not near as good as Amy's cheesecake. If you are ever blessed enough to eat Amy's cheesecake, it's like a second heaven experience. I mean, you're going up, okay? Yeah, you didn't make it to the third heavens, but you went up. You were in the spiritual realm. Now, I like all that stuff. Paul's like, listen, it's fine. It's fine. Paul ate stuff too. Paul did stuff too. But he says, it's all lost by comparison to knowing Christ. This is the supreme. It's the best. This is eternal life, to know Jesus. So that's what it's all about. And we all know that. That's not news. But here's what I want to introduce to us today. There is a great trap that has been set for your soul. Probably many, unfortunately. But there's one big one. And it's called offense. And offense will steal the greatest commandment straight up out of your heart and life. You cannot both pursue the greatest commandment and have offense in your heart. It doesn't work. Because offense is actually hate. Offense is accusation. Offense is all the negative stuff. So you can't love the Lord your God with all your heart, but your heart be filled with offense. It didn't work that way. It doesn't. Offense will cause you great harm. It's a great trap. I want to talk a little bit about that. I want to give us this morning as a, here's one thing I'm sure of. I am confident. I've known the Lord for a minute. I've been ministering for a minute. I've been preaching for a minute. Here's the one thing I'm sure of. If you can completely avoid offense, you will live infinitely better than if you did any other thing. If you can just completely avoid offense and then aim your heart at God, I don't think you could do better if you avoided anything else on the planet. I don't think you could do better than avoiding offense. Because here's what happens, just a little side point. Whatever sin we get into, whatever other thing we get into, so long as we can keep our heart from offense, we'll get out of that sin. But when we go from sin to offense, that's a trap that will ensnare and capture. I mean, think, you know, Venus flytrap. That thing just gobbles you up. The issue of offense has got to be our greatest enemy. We cannot give into it. But the problem is there's so many reasons. Oh my gosh, there's so many ways that offense can show up. Oh, it's ugly. I want to say it again. An offended heart cannot do greatest. We're doing a series on the greatest commandment. We're trying to learn how to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. All heart, soul, mind, strength. Offense gets into your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. You cannot do the greatest commandment and have offense. You can't. You got to get rid of the offense, then you can do the greatest commandment again. And I recognize all of us are in a journey, so it's likely that we're going to sense, oh no, I let a little offense creep in. Get it out. Like a fire in your house. You wouldn't watch that burn. If your couch is on fire, don't just sit there and go, wow, so pretty, who knew? I've never seen that couch in that light before. Wow. You would put that thing out. You'd be dousing water on it, stop, drop, and roll on the thing. You'd be doing whatever it took. You throw the cat on that thing. You would do whatever it takes to put the fire out in your own house. I want to tell you, offense is a fire that will burn your whole house down. I cannot think of any greater danger to any of you than the subject of offense. It's a big deal. It's counter to the way of love. Look at 1 John 4:20. Now I recognize this is talking about offense with a brother or a sister in the Lord, but it's the principle is communicated across whatever it is that you might be offended with. Look at this. Look at John, who he's Mr. Love. John's the apostle, laid his head on Jesus' chest. He's the apostle that was known as the one that Jesus loved, self-proclaimed. You know, John's got it, okay? And John, in his old age, he says this, whoever claims to love God, greatest commandment, yet he hates his brother or his sister, is a liar. a liar. That's some strong words. He said, if you claim to love God, but you hate a brother in Christ, you're a liar. Oh my gosh. That's like not stepping around the issue at all. I mean, that's just got punched in the jugular, you know? If you claim to love God, but you are harboring offense at a brother or a sister, you're like, I will not forgive them. I am mad at them. I hate them. I will not forgive them. You're a liar, and you do not love God. Oh, my gosh. Listen, if it weren't in the Word of God, I wouldn't be saying this, but that's a Bible verse. I mean, you can go look it up in yours. It's a Bible verse. It says, for whoever does not love their brother or sister who they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. He said, this is a principle of the kingdom. If the objective is to love God, to love the Lord our God with all our hearts and mind and strength, you can't do it if you're harboring offense against a human. You can't do it. It just doesn't work. Here's the problem. Man, this is like, it's the worst. You know, if somebody charged in here with a gun and they started pointing it at all of us, we would know exactly who the threat was. It would be obvious, clear and present danger. We would be identifying that person and we would all be unified together to try to figure out a solution of what to do with that problem. Here's the problem. Offense is worse than that gunman. But he's also so sneaky. He's so tricky because here's how this works related to the subject of offense. It's justified. That's a real problem. That's a real problem. Offense is a liar. Because here's what offense says. This person did this to you. Fact. Or fact to you. Maybe they didn't really do it to you, but you think they did. Either way, to you, it couldn't be more real. They did this to you. Fact. The lie is, therefore, you have permission to hold a grudge against them. That's a lie. That's a real problem. Because we're in a culture that very much is about eye for eye. You know, like, they did you wrong, you do them double dirty. We're in a culture that is all about celebrating, promoting, giving permission to offense. And the enemy is like having a heyday. He's like, ha, I got America, gotcha. Because he's convinced us as a culture that offense is okay. And the problem is, so many times, it's justified. And we have a real difficult time with that. Our little internal processing of offense, it's really tough for us to forgive. But I want to remind us, Jesus, how many times did he do something wrong? Never. He's on a cross with nails in body parts, being accused of being the worst person ever. And none of it was true. And he's forgiving the people who are killing him while they're killing him. So yes, while we might have a hard time forgiving people for doing wrong things to us, that's the way of the kingdom. And aren't you glad that it is? Because otherwise, how did you get in? Because you were so perfect, weren't you? Perfectly a mess wad, a giant heap of flaming turd. That's what you were before he came and forgave you. That's what you were before forgiveness that was unmerited. You didn't deserve it. What did you do to deserve that forgiveness? Nothing. It's how God operates. It's really what love is. Love and forgiveness, they're tight. Because you just can't. You just cannot operate in love with any sort of duration without forgiveness. Because humans are messy and they will hurt you. And Jesus is like, yep, you know what? We're just going to go ahead and settle this. I'm going to make the cross all about the most lavish expression of forgiveness ever in order to give you a model for forgiveness. Because if you don't operate in forgiveness as the rule, not every now and then, not like once a year, not those three times that somebody really did you wrong. If you don't operate in forgiveness as a rule, you're going to get a fence locked up in your heart against people, and then you can't love God. Yuck. That's really intense. It's when we're in pain, when we are done wrong, when we are mistreated, something rages within us. It's actually our flesh, if not Satan himself. Something rages within us that says justice equals holding a grudge, unforgiveness, being offended at that thing, that person, at God. And if you do that, and which unfortunately we all have a free will and you can, you just don't get to love God anymore. So you deal with it. I mean, you always repent. Well, man, we all know what it's like to get in a rut, don't we? It's hard to get out of a rut. Better to go ahead and not get in a rut than try to get yourself out of one. Because, man, it's tough. It says, but this is the way of the kingdom. Is that when we're in those moments, we have got to learn to forgive, because the lie is that somehow those things are permissible and they're not. Unforgiveness, offense, hatred, it's sin. It's sin. So you need to we need to have those little moments where we're looking at the situation and we're recognizing that person did wrong. Like, that was wrong. But it's wronger for me to hold it to them. Wronger. Because you know what? Most of the time, they don't even remember they did that thing to you. They have moved on. They're off wronging somebody else. They're too busy wronging the next person to even remember they wronged you. And we're all like, they wronged me. And what we've really done is we've locked up our heart. We have become a cesspool. We are allowing poison to just rampantly run about in our heart and our soul. We're doing it to ourselves. And they don't even know or care or remember. It's not even on their mind. Even if you tell them, they remember it for as long as you're talking. And then they move on. Because it's not real to them. I want to tell you, when we hold offense against a person, a situation, the Lord, a friend, whatever, when we hold offense, we're putting ourselves in prison. And when we do that, it's sin, because we're told not to do it. I'll tell you what, it's easier for me if I just know the rules. It's like, you cannot, under any set of circumstances, do this. What? Don't eat the fruit from the tree. Okay, that's the one tree I can't eat. At least I know. So I know when I'm breaking the rules. I'm going to tell you what the main do not is. Do not hold an offended heart for any reason, for any duration, against any person or thing. You can get just as knotted up over a thing, an institution, a concept, as you can over a person. We got to commit to avoid it. I mean, we've got to commit to operate in forgiveness. So they did the thing. I forgive them. I forgive you. I forgive that. We got to get good at that, because that's the way out. The way out isn't getting them to have to deal with their thing or to make restitution for whatever wrong thing. If those things happen, cool. I hope they do. But that's not actually how to get resolution in your heart, because they could make resolution and you still choose to hold offense against them. I mean, it doesn't. So it's not like them making restitution fixed it. There's one way to fix it. One way: forgiveness. And we need to not be expecting the other person, thing, situation that we're offended at to just do right in order for us to offer our forgiveness. We need to offer our forgiveness and then hope that they do right. But whether they do right or wrong does not matter. You need to figure out in your heart, how do I offer forgiveness when it's justified that I'm ticked? I'm not even trying to say they did right and that you're wrong. Most of the time, you might well be right. They were wrong. It was bad. But I mean, so you want to lock up your own heart? You want to live in unforgiveness? You want to live in sin? There's no greater enemy to the greatest commandment. There's no greater enemy. Knowing that, whatever it costs me, I don't want offense. I mean, if I have to live a little weird, if I have to look a little silly, if I have to be wronged, I mean, if I have to just not have things go the way that I would think that they should go in order for everything to be just and right in the world. What planet do you live on, by the way? This is not a just and right planet. The moon. I'm going to be the first colonization to the moon. Just going to go there, and my whole planet will be fine. Me and the moon, gold. Till anybody else starts to show up. Then we're going to have trouble. We're going to have Cain and Abel all over again is what we're going to have. So, you just see, life isn't fair. Life isn't fair. Good people do bad stuff. Bad people do triple bad stuff. This is life. But you're in charge of forgiveness every time, every situation. You're in charge. And through Christ, not through you, you're not so cool. Through Christ, you can forgive anything, just like he did. I mean, think about forgiveness as a supernatural move of the Holy Spirit, just like a divine healing. Okay, somebody comes up, they got a problem, they're, you know, whatever, their toe's funny looking, okay? We pray for them, and now, boom, their toe's not funny looking anymore. God did a work in their toe. God brought the healing. It's about God. It's about engaging the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You can use the same Holy Spirit to forgive anybody of anything at any time. And I want to tell you, not only do you have access to that, you want this, you want to be great at this. Be bad at something else. You want to be great at forgiving quickly when they're the worst, when it's the most offensive ever. You know what I try to do? I look at a situation, I go, wow, that is really offensive. My, how my heart is being tried to be offended at this particular juncture. I forgive you. Oh, try it again. I forgive you. Okay, next time without the jaw. I forgive you. Next time without the head tilt. I forgive you. Okay, now work for sincerity. I forgive you. All right, now pray about it. Oh, God, help me. Hey, I forgive you. Listen, you want to get there quick. You're the only one messed up when you don't forgive. And it'll mess you up. It will mess you up. When we have offense in our heart, we actually have an inability to be able to express love because they're totally polar opposite. Just think about, you know, think about anybody in life that you've ever met that was like an offended person or offended about something. How would you define their love at that point? Like, do they exude love for you, for God, for themselves? They brood. It's an infestation. It's a killer. It will destroy you. Offense is not a game. But we live in a culture that it is highly prevalent. It's prevalent in the world. It's prevalent in the church. Let me give you, for instance, you ever had somebody, a friend, this gets real here. You ever had a friend, they come up to you and they're like, man, I can't believe this person did this thing to me. And you go, I can't believe they did that to you. You partnered in helping them stay offended. You were helping them. You were helping them exit the greatest commandment. Ooh. Instead, we want to go, yeah, you know what? They did. Now what are we going to do? We got to forgive. I'm sorry that happened. How do I help you? How do we, let me pray with you. They start talking. I'm going to do this thing to that person. And you're like, yeah, you're right. You're helping them be offended. See, it's so prevalent in the culture. It's so prevalent in the church. We actually silently celebrate it. Now, none of us would say, I am a celebrator of offense. I am a promoter of offense. It's my favorite. None of us would say that, but with our actions, with the way that we talk with others, it's all over our culture. Our culture, there is so much about go get back the person that did the bad thing. Songs, you know, stories, books, movies, culture, Twitter. I mean, they did the thing. Let's do the thing double to them. and then let's set them on fire. And it's so cultural, it's cute. It's offense. We're fueling offense. Offense will destroy the greatest commandment. It completely removes the good work that's being done in the heart. Offense is the worst. Look at what the author of Hebrews says. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, so that we will not grow weary and lose heart. I want you to not grow weary and not lose heart. And the only way to do that is the sin that so easily entangles, you got to cast it off. And while that can apply to many things, it could not apply more to the subject of offense. You know what's interesting? If you will actually like try to be like water off a duck's back kind of a scenario, when offensive situations come, instead of giving them even 5 minutes to fester, if you'll deal with it right then, you just cast off the thing that so easily entangles. It so easily entangles. Think about a net. The longer you're in that net struggling, you're entangled. But if you saw that net coming with ha-cha, and you just karate chop that thing away, you are not entangled, even though it's easily entangling. If you deal with that thing on the onset, if you'll cast that thing off as soon as it comes at you, you won't get caught up in it. You won't get entangled in the thing. It's really important. You like my ha-cha? Some of you like my ha-cha. Hey, I do me, okay? Ha-cha, okay? Let us throw off everything that hinders. And it's up to us. I love the author of Hebrews. He's telling us it is, in fact, up to you. Let us throw off the things that easily entangle. They will entangle you easily. They will get you all messed up and ensnared very easily. But let us cast those things off. The idea of cast off is like just simple. It really is simple. You just have to make the decision. I'm not going to let that offend me. What's the that? Arid thing. If it can ensnare, if it can entangle, if it can offend, then it makes my list. And it's that. I will not let that offend me. I will not let it. It's up to us. But we got to make that decision. We got to walk that way. Jesus said that when we will live without offense, we'll be blessed. Matthew 11, verse 6, blessed is he who's not offended because of me. Because of me is absolutely what he meant, but blessed is he who's not offended. I mean, it's just as applicable. Blessed is he who's not offended, because when you're not offended, there's blessings at rest on your life. You're happier. You know, I don't know if you know this or not, happier people get free stuff. Happier people make friends easier. Happier people just get all sorts of favor on the planet. Grumpy people are avoided. Like, you see the grumpy person walking, you go to the other side of the street. Don't look up. They might grump at me. Like, blessings, he's not offended. There are blessings. Christ is the one that said it. There's blessings that rest on you when you're not offended. When you live in offense, it's unblessed, are you? It's entangled, are you? It's ensnared, are you? It's really yucky. We want to fight to live free. And it's a fight. I mean, it is. You might be doing okay today and then lose your way a little bit next week when the thing happens. It's kind of tricky because offense is always at the door. Always. And just when we're like, okay, I'm good here and here and here, we get blindsided from the right. We never saw that thing coming. Like, oh, dang. I didn't even know to guard over here, which is why we've got to be less guarded against stuff and things and situations and more guarded against the rage of offense rising, regardless of how it got there, regardless of who pushed your button, what circumstance messed with you, regardless, we got to get good at feeling it rage and go, no, 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 no. In Jesus' name, no. Not today, Satan. I am not going to give over to the spirit of offense. I'm not going to have an offended heart. I'm not going to let it happen. I'm going to deal with this right now. You will do so much better to just have yourself a little spiritual warfare fight right there and then than even dealing with whatever thing is happening. Because you can always, I mean, how many things have you dealt with? A million? You'll get it figured out, but offense will destroy you. So just go ahead and deal with the offense right then. Whatever you got to deal with the offense, don't let it have a place. Don't get caught up in that net. Look at what Philippians 1, 9 through 10 says. Paul, talking about love and its connection to living without offense. Look at this. I pray that your love may abound more and more, and Jesus more and more, that you love God more and more, the greatest commandment, even more next week, even more next year, even more and more. I pray that it would abound, that you may approve the things that are excellent and that you may be without offense until the day of Christ. You will not be able to have your love abounding more and more with offense, because offense is a giant weight. Oh, offense is a mess. Now, there's plenty of reasons that we get offended. We get offended at God because we read what the Bible says and we don't like it, and we decide we're going to do things our way. I mean, we get offended at God. I know it sounds crazy, but we do it. We get offended at his ways, stuff he does, stuff he doesn't do. We get offended. We're like, I don't much like that. I'm not saying you have to like it. I'm saying you got to deal with the offense so that it doesn't cause you great pain, so that it doesn't derail you. Because if you'll just keep talking to Jesus about it, you'll be okay. His silence, we can't get offended when he's silent. You know what? Sometimes the Lord just plays a quiet game. I don't know what it is. He loves that game. Me, not so much. But sometimes he'll just play the quiet game. Like, oh, we're good. He's talking. He's leading me. Things are good. And then silent. Crickets. Would you please talk? And he's just quiet. Don't get offended at him. He has got a plan. He is playing the quiet game on purpose. Play the game with him. Just get all silent and sit before him. Don't get offended at God. Offended by circumstances. You know, it's not just people. Sometimes your circumstances will cause you offense. And I think this area we give even more permission to, because it's not aimed at a person. So we just give permission to it like it's inconsequential. We get offended because of delays. And we like it fast, hot, and now. Get offended because of delays. We get offended, if we're not careful, because of financial difficulties. Just real quick. And I want you to be honest. If you have ever had a financial difficulty, put your hand in the air. Yeah. What? Why aren't some of y'all's hands in the air? I don't know that I believe you. You've never had a... Yeah. Oh. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Waving. That's what I'm talking about right there. It's like, oh, yes. Well, we've had a plenty. We all have financial difficulties at some point. I don't mean last week. I mean this life. Financial difficulties are just kind of part of life. We can't allow it to to offend us. Disappointments and setbacks. You can't let offense. You know, the reason I'm listing off some of these things isn't because it's comprehensive. It's because I'm hoping it will stir something in some of your hearts. That you'll be like, oh yeah, that dis. Oh, he said setback. Oh, yeah, he said delay. Oh, that one. Oh. So that you can start to think about the thing you want to not be offended by. So that you can start to guard the heart a little bit. Injustice in the world. There is so much injustice in the world, but you can't allow your heart to be offended by it. And it's easy to let your heart be offended by it because there's a lot of injustice in the world. It's really there. It's not there. It's for real there. But we can't get offended by it being there, or the devil wins. I don't want the devil to win. I want to be useful. I want to have my heart primed and encountering the Lord. I want my heart to abound more and more. You can't let it. Offended at people, the words and actions of people on social media about you secretly. You can't let that be. You can't. The way family members respond to you. Of course they're going to mess with you. They know you better than anybody. If they haven't done something that had the capacity to offend you, you probably don't see them very often. It's just, of course they're going to offend you. When people let us down, listen, I wish it wasn't so. I'm going to let you down. Don't be offended at me. I'm not going to do it on purpose. You're going to let each other down. Don't be offended. when friends don't appreciate us the way that we feel like they should. That's just part of life. I mean, I wish it wasn't, but it is. And if we think that it isn't, then when it happens, we give real room to the enemy to be offended. You don't want to live there. People just being plain mean. You know, Jesus, he approached the most pious religious people of the day, and he said, "Your father is Satan." Of course people are going to be mean. Their father's Satan. Of course you're going to have problems. Of course people are going to be mean and cruel and say dumb stuff. And of course, why are we so shocked by it? I can't believe it. I had such a terrible day. Why? Someone lost said something mean. Someone saved said something mean. Of course they did. They got the devil in them. Just like you do. Because you never said anything mean before to anybody, right? I'm sure you haven't. The most powerful enemy of love. Listen, it's a calculated statement for me. I've been looking at this for a while. I've watched what trips people up. 20 years of ministry, watching people turn away from Jesus, watching people who were fiery about the greatest commandment lose their way. It's always, always offense. Maybe it didn't start there. Maybe it started with a situation, a loss, a thing, a busyness. But it got to offense. It's the most killer enemy of the greatest commandment. It's the most powerful enemy of love. You know, offense is accusation. Because we look at the thing, the person, the situation, and we go, bad. You bad. I thought about it. You bad. Did you know that accusation is the language of Satan? It's how he talks. It's what he thinks about. Revelation 12, 9 through 10, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. Man, how did he lead the whole world astray? The accuser of our brothers and sisters, accusing them before God day and night. You might want to think about this for a second. When you have offense, you are speaking hell speak. You are speaking the language of Satan, the accuser. He, day and night, this guy's busy. He is constantly accusing. So when we're holding offense, what we're doing is we're saying, they're bad, they did the thing. And Satan all day long is upstairs going, they bad, they did the thing. It's like, oh, well, no, they did it to me. Satan's like, I don't care who you're aimed at. So long as I can get you accusing, I win. That's what offense is. It's accusing either the Lord and his goodness. You didn't do the thing. He's like, I'm good. It's impossible that I would be anything but good. Why are you accusing me? You're operating in hell speak. You are using the language of the accuser. Whether it's against the Lord or it's against each other, it's accusation. Just think about how far away accusation is from Mary of Bethany loving the Lord our God with all our hearts, soul, mind, and strength. Like, those are two, like, total opposites. They don't get more polar opposite. That's why the two of them can't operate in the same heart. You can't have accusation in your heart and love for God. It doesn't work. It's a thief. You know that whole steal, kill, destroy? I can't think of anything that steal, kills, destroy more faster and more thoroughly than offense. When we have offense, it steals your joy. It kills the love in your heart. It just, it's all like all consuming. It's a powerful and harmful internal conversation. When you're having offense in your heart, you're stuck. Think about the last time you were really offended. Just think about it for a second. How was your day? Even if you were at Six Flags with your best friends. Your day was dirty. It's foul. It could have been your birthday. You could have gotten a Lamborghini. You were offended. You didn't feel it. You didn't feel that Lamborghini. You didn't feel that birthday cake. You didn't feel Six Flags. You didn't feel the friends' love. You didn't feel the affection. You didn't feel the greatest commandment. The only thing you felt was offense that whole day. And the next. And then you dreamt about it. And then you woke up mad. What is wrong with us? How could it possibly be that we get reset every day. We take a nap. We wake up mad. Man, we got the devil in us. Wake up mad? Like, how do you wake up mad? Because you got a fence in your heart. You didn't deal with it. And it's all your fault. And you could have dealt with it. And you could deal with it right now. You could stop listening to me and deal with the offense. I'm so offended. Brad keeps talking about how offended I am. Deal with the offense. And let's move on, people. Let's get going. Let's get over it. Don't be offended. Don't stay offended. It will destroy you. It corrodes the heart. I want you to think about what corrosion looks like. When you have offense in your heart, think about what you want your heart to look like. Kind of imagine, get a little picture of what you want the internal you to look like related to your love for Jesus, the greatest commandment. Think about what you want that to look like. And now imagine there's mold and mildew coming in from the corner. And it's growing. It's coming down the wall. It's on the floor. It's corroding. It's corroding your heart. And you can actually get rid of it in 1 second. I mean, trying to get rid of mildew and mold, that's a work. Not with the blood of Jesus. It's so easy. You just splash some of that up on the wall and it's gone. You've got to forgive. And if you will, it's gone. I've seen this happen so many times in my own life where I'm worked up about something and I go, I forgive them. No, no, Lord, I really do. Help me forgive them. I totally don't forgive them. Help me to forgive them. I mean it. I mean I really want to, at least, if I don't kill them first. Lord, help me forgive them. Help me forgive them. Help me forgive them. Help me forgive them. Oh, Lord, I forgive them. I forgive them. And then all of a sudden, that gnarly day that I was about to have is freed up and I'm good to go. My heart's okay. My relationships are okay. There still might be a little, some things in the natural that still need to be worked out between me and that person. But it's not like I'm offended and there's a blockade and I'm mad at him and I'm doing dagger eyes every time I see him. Like, you're in charge. You're in charge. It corrodes the heart. It's the greatest enemy. Here's what I want us to do. Worship team, you can come on up. Andy, come up too. You want to run a self-test. This morning, 15 minutes later, this afternoon, before you go to bed, tomorrow morning, you want to run a self-test. You want this to just be part of your life. You want it to be a normal part of your life. The intensity of your passion for Jesus in this season measured against the offense in your own heart. You might want to ask yourself the question. It's not guaranteed that this is the culprit, but you might want to ask yourself the question, how intense is my passion for Jesus right now? And if the answer isn't like a real good answer, again, it doesn't guarantee that it's the culprit, but you want to ask, Lord, is there anybody I haven't forgiven? Is there? Because the word says that offense is going to really mess with me. It's going to keep me from love. It says it's impossible. So you might ask, is there any offense? Because if there is, I can promise you that's a huge reason. And you just want to run the self-test regularly. Lord, search me and know me. See if there's any wicked way about me. See if there's any offense in me and help me to uproot that offense and to wash those walls so that corrosion doesn't get in.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.